Hare Nama. Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. Kalo Naskeva, Naskeva, Naskeva. Gatir Anyata. I'm going to speak tonight on the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in order to create an atmosphere of auspiciousness, I will ask everyone to repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tonight we are featuring a special book, Teachings of Lord Kapila. The system in this temple is every week you have a different, every month. So this is the Book of the Month Club for those who are Krishna conscious. Now, in order to make this presentation more successful, I need to know who is here for the first time. Please raise your hand if you're here for the first time. All right? Then I know now how to tailor my presentation. Let me read a little bit to you from one of our main scriptures. We study two main books in this movement. The primary scripture that we study is called Bhagavad Gita, the Song of God. And then the more advanced scripture that we study is known as Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the narration of God and His devotees. Not just God alone, but how God is relating and having different kinds of relationships with various kinds of devotees, worshippers, followers. The Srimad Bhagavatam is considered in Indian culture to be the topmost spiritual authority. It is considered to be the postgraduate study of the science of God. And we proudly use this term, science of God. Indeed, the teachings of Lord Kapila is a science. Lord Kapila taught a particular philosophical school known as Sankhya, by which one scientifically analyzes the elements of this material world, but the conclusion is that one realizes the eternal relationship one has with God. Srimad Bhagavatam scientifically promotes this understanding that each and every one of us has a unique individual relationship with God. And when we use the word relationship, that means that God necessarily is a person. In the Bhagavad Gita, there is a particular name for God, Purushottama. Can everyone say? Purushottama means that not only is God a person, but He is the topmost, the supreme, the best person. And He is capable of having a loving relationship with you. One of the first things you learn from Bhagavad Gita, because Bhagavad Gita is the beginning book in the science of God. And the first thing you learn is that you are eternal. You always existed. Which means what you see in the mirror is not you. Obviously, you have a birthday. You will have a death day. But Bhagavad Gita says, you are eternal. You always existed in the past. Just as you exist now, and you will continue to exist in the future. But not this body. This body is just like the set of clothes you are wearing today. When I was a hippie, I might wear a particular pair of jeans for 1 week until they walked off and crawled off. But you're not like that. You change your clothes every day. So just as we change clothes, we are changing bodies, one after the other after the other. Why? All because of desire. We have so many desires to want to enjoy this world, and depending on how we live, we are awarded a particular body in order to enjoy this material world. Everyone's body is unique. Everyone has their own set of senses, which are grouped about the mind. And you all know what kind of mind you have. And if you don't know, just ask your partner. They'll tell you what kind of mind you have. So that's the first lesson of transcendental science. That you're eternal. That you always existed. And you don't really die. You go on. And Srimad Bhagavatam and the teachings of Lord Kapila, which are found in Srimad Bhagavatam, scientifically teach us how to perfect this present human life. Human life is an opportunity to achieve the highest perfection, which is known as self-realization. Self-realization means, what am I supposed to be eternally? At the present moment, I am partially realized. I understand. I'm a man. I'm a woman. I'm a housewife. I'm a businessman. I'm a singer. I'm a preacher. I'm an athlete. But this is a temporary designation. Self-realization is the scientific process by which one understands what is my ultimate situation, what is my permanent situation. Self-realization means what is my eternal relationship with God. The person. And the whole process of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the means by which that eternal relationship with God is revealed. It centers around two main practices. You're doing it right now. The first one is called hearing. you hear from the authorities about the science of God. In the Bhagavad Gita, there are 700 shlokas or verses. 700 items of knowledge which will help us to become self-realized. Then in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you have 18,000 shlokas, which one after the other are teaching us how to become self-realized. The whole purpose of human life is to become self-realized. If this kind of information is not appealing to you, you're in the wrong building. This information should be something which makes your ears perk up. Just as a businessman, as soon as a businessman hears of an opportunity to make money, all of a sudden he becomes very attentive. Or when a young teenager hears of an opportunity to associate with friends for a party, all of a sudden he's very attentive. Somebody who is interested in self-realization, the statements of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam become very, very interesting. They pique his interest. So the first step is to hear more and more and more about the science of God. This temple and all of the temples of our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada are meant to be learning institutions. You can go to many different temples, churches, mosques throughout the world, but you should go to those places where you will actually learn transcendental knowledge. That is what this institution is about, disseminating transcendental knowledge. Yesterday, the devotees of this temple and other temples put on a festival, and I was told, how many books were distributed at this temple festival? 4,250 books like this were distributed at this festival under the guise of throwing colors. But the main idea was to hear and chant and distribute transcendental knowledge. As parents, we are very much interested in giving our children higher education. All good parents insist that their children get a higher education. But beyond that higher education is the education of Krishna consciousness, the science of God, which is not taught in UC Irvine. Not taught in Harvard. No. That institution is found here. That transcendental knowledge is obtained by the books of my spiritual master, the founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. If you do not have one of these books, don't leave here today without getting. Rupanuga Prabhu will make that arrangement for you. Everyone should have, well, actually, everyone should have the entire library of transcendental knowledge. I have the entire library of transcendental knowledge in my computer. But you can get these books. And your time should be well spent, that more and more you are learning the science of self-realization, the science of God, of who you ultimately can become, who you are meant to be, to reach your full potential, because you're eternal. You're part and parcel of God. We hear so often, not just by us, but you hear all over the world, that one should reach one's full potential. And your full potential as a spirit soul is that you can develop your dormant love of God. Everybody loves the word love. As soon as you hear the word love, you automatically get a warm, fuzzy feeling. The word love is such a nice word. Before finding this movement, that was my favorite song. All you need is love. But I never found it. I thought I found it with Dina. I thought I found it with Michelle and Linda. But what happened? Something went wrong. But when I found this movement, when I started to read these books, then I got the real clue. What is the real love? What is the love that never dies? What is the love that is increasing at every moment? That love is called love of God. And it's already there in our hearts, lying dormant. And whether it be Lord Kapila's science of Sankhya, or Lord Krishna's teachings of Bhagavad Gita, or even the core teachings of Jesus Christ, is teaching love of God. I have no problem saying to a Christian, you have the essence. Your Lord Jesus taught it. Love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Therefore, don't kill and eat animals. They are your neighbor. But love of God is what is the essence of anything that pretends to be a religion. Unless this concept of love of God is there, then it's not a religion. It's some club. No. Love of God is the true essence of any religion. Lord Kapila appeared on this earth many thousands of years ago. His father was a great sage who performed great penances and austerities for thousands of years. His austerities and penances were so pure that God Himself appeared before him. That form of God is Lord Vishnu. He appeared in his four-handed form and was so pleased with the austerities of Kardama Muni that he personally appeared and told him that he would fulfill his desire. And what was Kardama's desire? His desire was that he wanted a special wife. He wanted a wife that would have a very similar disposition to his own. And Lord Vishnu said, yes, such a girl is coming to you within a few days. And then the Lord disappeared from Kardama Muni's hermitage. And as the Lord predicted, the great emperor Swayambhuva Manu, along with his wife Shatarupa, and with them their beautiful daughter Devahuti. Devahuti was so beautiful that some demigods were flying in the air and they saw Devahuti playing with the ball. He fell out of his airplane. That's how beautiful was Devahuti. And the emperor Swayambhuva came to Kardama, and with tears in his eyes, because he was giving away his daughter. You will have to give away two daughters. I think we will see you cry also. I cried when I gave my daughter away. So Devahuti was given to Kardama. Kardama was a sage, Devahuti was a princess. But she accepted the life and style of her husband, neglected herself, and simply served Kardama as he continued with his austerities and penances. And after some time, when her body had become emaciated, neglected, after a long time of serving, Kardama Muni decided to fulfill all of her desires. He arranged that she would enter a lake, and within that lake there was a city, and she was attended by maidservants, and she was bathed and dressed, and when she came out, she was completely rejuvenated, looking like a stunning princess once again. And then Kardama, because he had been performing austerities for thousands of years, he had amassed great mystic power. He created a mansion, almost like a city, that could fly and go throughout the universe. And he and Devahuti enjoyed their marriage life, traveling throughout the universe, visiting different heavenly gardens, and they were enjoying very nice heavenly sense gratification. A honeymoon that lasted 100 years, not 2 weeks. A 100-year honeymoon, traveling in this aerial mansion. Then, finally, Kardama Muni expanded himself into 9 forms. And 9 expansions impregnated Devahuti and immediately gave birth to 9 daughters on the spot, fully grown. Those daughters were married by the arrangement of Lord Brahma, the creator, and married to different rishis and sages to help with the population of the universe. Then, and the last, as was predicted by the Lord when he first appeared to Kardama, the Lord himself agreed to become the son of Kardama and Devahuti. And it is interesting to note that throughout the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, this incarnation is mostly known in reference to his mother, not his father. He is known as Devahuti Putra Kapila. So with the appearance of this son, who was actually God himself, Kardama Muni wanted to give up his household life and become a mendicant sannyasi. And this was approved by the son. You would think that one has God as his son, why wouldn't he want to stay? But no. Kardama wanted to taste the beautiful fruit of renunciation, even though he had God as his son. And as Kardama was about to leave, Devahuti approached her husband and said, "You have cheated me. Although you gave me a very nice household life, we enjoyed throughout the universe. You gave me 9 daughters. Now we have the son, Kapila. But my husband, you failed to give me one very important thing. Fearlessness. That is something money can't buy. Everybody in this material world is fearful. What are we fearful of? The next problem, which we don't know is coming. We're fearful of death, although we shouldn't be, because I already said at the very beginning, we're eternal. But nevertheless, everyone in this material world is fearful." So Devahuti wanted her husband to give her fearlessness. And Kardama said, "That you will get from your son." So Kardama left home and took up the renounced order of life, sannyas. And Devahuti stayed under the protection of her son. And at an appropriate time, Devahuti approached her son and began to inquire into the absolute truth. Devahuti wanted to learn from her son, what is the absolute truth? What is the relationship between the soul and God? And Lord Kapila began to explain to Devahuti the system of Sankhya, analyzing this whole material creation into 24 material elements, then the time factor, then above that the soul, and then above that the super soul, God himself who lives in the heart. Kapila gave a full analysis of this material world. Kapila also explained the real process of yoga. The real process of yoga is simply a means by which one can link with God. And the real process of yoga teaches how God can be seen within the heart. Not simply physical gymnastics, but the yoga taught by Lord Kapila, one actually envisions and can contact God within the heart. That is the real yoga. To be able to actually see God in the heart. And Lord Kapila also emphasized throughout his chapters, because his teachings begin in the 25th chapter and go all the way to chapter 32. That's 8 chapters of transcendental knowledge. And repeatedly, you see a concurrent theme. Kapila Dev says exactly the same thing Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, because Lord Kapila is none other than Lord Krishna, just in a different manifestation. So that recurrent theme is known as bhakti, devotional service. The goal of life is to be engaged 24 hours a day in actively using the senses to love and serve God. As I mentioned, Jesus himself taught when he says, love God with your whole heart, not part of it. When a woman agrees to be someone's husband, she expects the whole bank account, the whole heart and soul. Am I right, ladies? You don't want partial. Right. So God also requires the whole heart, the whole soul, the whole mind. That is bhakti. And Lord Kapila teaches us to engage all of our senses, our eyes, our ears, our nose, tongue, skin, hands, legs, the mind, everything should be utilized to love and serve God. When Lord Kapila's instructions were completed, Devahuti composed some very nice verses signifying that she had completely understood the teachings of her son. And those teachings of Devahuti are very, very powerful, very, very sublime. Devahuti says that anyone who is chanting the name of God, such a person is on the highest platform of human existence. That such a person has already performed all other subsidiary accomplishments which lead one to higher and higher states of consciousness. But if one is chanting the holy name of God, if the name of God is on one's tongue, that is proof that a person is on the topmost platform. This movement, this temple, is based on this premise. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kevalam, Kalo Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatiranyata. This current age is an age of quarrel, hypocrisy. It is called the age of Kali. I don't have to take much to convince you of that. You just have to turn on any news station, watch for 10 minutes, and it's confirmed. We're living in an age of quarrel and hypocrisy, day after day. So in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, The path of self-realization is made very, very easy. After all, if it was any more difficult, nobody would do it. Hare Nama. Just accept that the name of God is God. Is there anybody here who cannot accept that the name of God is God? Very good. That deserves the bell. If you can accept that the name of God is God, you can then become a chantor. Because God is almighty, all good, all blissful, all wonderful. He's the supreme. He is the reservoir of pleasure. Anybody here not want pleasure? Who wants pain? God is the reservoir of pleasure. And that pleasure and everything having to do with God is there in His holy name. Gee, even the Bible says, "Hallowed be thy name." It's there in the Bible even. Everyone should become a chanter, not a rantor. You have two options in this world. Either you become a chanter or you become a ranter. Take your pick. But if you can become a chanter and take up a life of chanting the name of God, then the kingdom of God is your rightful inheritance. How many of you would like to go to the kingdom of God at the end of this life? Who wants to go to the kingdom of God? Who wants to come back and take another birth here in Laguna Beach? So if you can become a chanter, you can inherit the kingdom of God. This Hare Krishna movement is teaching this principle. Claim your rightful inheritance to the kingdom of God. But you have to chant. How much? Incessantly. If not incessantly, as much as possible. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And now, if there are any questions, I'll try to answer a question, especially from the new people that are here for the first time. Any questions? Okay, there are no questions. You have a question? All right, what is your question? Say that again. The what of God? What was that last word? The kingdom of God. Because we have to understand, his question is, how is it by chanting that one can inherit the kingdom of God? Because we are meant to be there. But it's a question of desire. Most people don't want to go back to the kingdom of God. They want to remain and play here in Laguna or wherever. They don't want to go. They're not interested. So simply for wanting to, simply because you want to, that suffices. But that wanting has to be, I don't want anything else. That wanting has to be wholehearted wanting. It has to be complete. It has to be that kind of wanting that I will do anything to achieve the kingdom of God. There's nothing I won't do. That kind of wanting. Complete, wholehearted, incessant. And the devotee's attitude is, if I can't achieve the kingdom of God in this lifetime, as many lifetimes as it takes. Queen Rukmini, the wife of Krishna, when she wrote her letter to Krishna, Krishna, I'm about to be married to this other person, but I have already given my heart and soul to you, so you have to come tomorrow and rescue me, kidnap me. And Rukmini said, my Lord, if this is not possible for you to kidnap me, then I am prepared to take 100 births before I am qualified. She had that much determination. So when we engage in this chanting, when one is chanting with heart and soul, what is one saying? What is one saying? We're not simply mumbling words, but one is simply saying, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. Please take me back home. It is a crying. So when there is no other desire, when one is 100% in this mood of full surrender, you're there. But to get to that stage, therefore the devotee chants with heart and soul, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. More questions. Yes, I was hoping you had a question. You talk to this man right here. He will take care of you. All right? More questions. Heaven is material. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, heaven, the heavenly planets, is where pious people go who are still attached to this material world. The moon planet, the planet of Indra and other demigods. But that is a temporary heaven. You cannot stay there forever. Just as sometimes we go on vacation. But after the vacation, when the money is spent, you have to come back and go to work again. So going to heaven is not a permanent vacation. Even Indra is only there for a certain amount of time, and he has to come back down to earth. Nobody can stay in heaven forever because it is material. But we are talking about something beyond heaven, the kingdom of God, which is eternal, which is spiritual. From that, you don't have to return. There, as Krishna says, once having achieved it, you don't return. So we are not interested in a temporary vacation. We are interested in a permanent situation of eternal life, of bliss and knowledge, living and loving in the kingdom of God. Those who want to go to heaven, Krishna calls such people less intelligent because they are cheating themselves. Yes, if somebody says, I offer you $10 and somebody else is offering $1 million and I take the $10, who's the fool? I'm the fool. Krishna is offering his abode, complete knowledge, bliss, eternality. And all that's required is sincere, serious devotion. That's all. So this movement is emphasizing. We have a magazine. Our magazine is called Back to Godhead. The title speaks for itself. Especially the word back. I'll let it stay there. More questions? Yes. Yes. Love. You have to come to the platform of love. God, being a person, He already has everything. He has all the opulences. There's nothing we can offer Him that's of any value other than our love. Just like, is this your child? Granddaughter. Okay. Now, your granddaughter may draw a picture. Now, compared to a great work of art, it's nothing. But for you, because it's made by your granddaughter, and you see your granddaughter in that picture is worth millions of dollars to you. Am I right? Because of the element of love changes everything. So the only thing that impresses God is love. That is the only thing. Doesn't matter how intelligent you are. It doesn't matter how handsome or beautiful. These things don't have any impression. But when the individual soul who has free will decides to use that free will and say to the Lord, I am yours, that is what attracts the attention of God. It is that voluntary free will which says, my Lord, I want to love you. I want to serve you. That is what attracts God. So as I said earlier, the real religion, which makes any religion a religion, is love of God. Apart from that, it's all show. It's all externals. And it's a waste of time. But soon as there is this element of love of God, everything changes. Do you like that? Good. You let me explain more about the age of Kali. Just as right now, we're quickly approaching the season of spring, right? So the different seasons have different symptoms. So on a universal time scale, The world goes through different seasons. The first age, the golden age, is called Satya. In the age of Satya, everyone is more or less on the platform of goodness, inclined to spiritual life. There is no harsh material activities. The population is more or less interested in spiritual life. That age lasts for so many thousands of years. I can't remember the exact number. Then that's followed by the next age, Treta Yuga. In Treta Yuga, materialistic, fruitive activities are introduced. But people are still very much pious. So the mode of goodness becomes tinged with the mode of passion. That's followed by the age of Dwarapa. That age lasted 864,000 years. In the age of Dwarapa, things were 50-50. 50% pious and spiritual, and 50% materialistic. Now we come to the final, the winter, the age of Kali, which began 5,000 years ago. The age of Kali began the very moment Krishna left this world. Krishna was here on this earth in the country of India 5,000 years ago. He actually walked on this earth and demonstrated his pastimes. His final pastime was the speaking of the Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna left the earth about 5,000 years ago, the age of Kali began. K-A-L-I. The age of Kali means day by day, religiousness and spirituality decreases. And what's increasing day by day? Irreligion, sinfulness. The age of Kali means people are given more and more facility to become degraded, to become animalistic, to become debauched. But there's a 10,000 year grace period. You're getting your credit card, you get a 25-day grace period. There's a 10,000 year grace period, which started 500 years ago with the advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which you will hear about next week. Am I right? On Tuesday, the 26th, you will hear about the great appearance of Krishna as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who ushered in this 10,000 golden period, where one can take advantage of all the opportunities afforded by this movement of Krishna consciousness. So you have 10,000 years to get out. So Lord Chaitanya has come. He has given us this movement. He has given us this Hare Krishna mantra. Take that mantra and go back to the kingdom of God. Don't wait around, because it's going to get more and more nasty. So we encourage you, finish up the business. What do you think? Yes. Come to this temple and go back to Godhead. Yes, Prabhu. Yes. Yes. Kali is different from Kali. Kali is another name for the deity of the material energy. the material energy, everything is personified. And the spiritual energy is also personified. We worship the spiritual energy in the form of Srimati Radharani. And those who are materialists, they worship the material energy in the form of Kali. So we promote, you should worship the spiritual energy. And you worship the spiritual energy every time you say the word Hare. Everyone say
Hare.
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 Very good. Anything else? So how did I do? Did I do okay? Thank you very much. I'll see you hopefully one day back home, back to Godhead. And if you get there before me, put in a good word with Krishna. Thank you.